This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Is Daryl Ryder, our Cleveland beat reporter. He covers the Browns. He covers the Guardians.
He's our sports director, if you ask me.
He covers the Cavs.
He's like our sports director.
Is he?
Yeah, he covers everything.
Well, that's nice. He's brought to us by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Hello, Daryl.
Hello, boys. Happy Daryl. Opening day.
Thank you very much. I was just going to mention, if the...
Totally forgot about it, because they're on the West Coast. But it is. It's opening day.
If it's opening day, and you're playing a team that doesn't want to be in the city you're playing in, and it starts at 10 o'clock, is it really...
Yes, it still counts.
It really does? It's still opening day?
It counts against the 162.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure. I just wanted to double check with that. Thank you.
They got to open up in the dump of baseball, unfortunately.
But before we get into some Brown Stadium talk, among other things, riddle me this one. We were kicking this around. There doesn't seem to be the usual buzz for opening day that there could be, and I think that's a shame. Part of it might be 10 straight games on the road to get started in Oakland, you know, late at night, the whole thing. I also think there might be a Terry Francona factor here, because in the past, even if the team didn't do big things, you kind of thought, well, Terry's going to figure this out and he'll have them going. And nothing against Stephen Vogt, we don't have any idea. I wonder if that plays into this at all.
Yeah, it was a pretty uneventful offseason for the Guardians, let's be honest about it. They didn't make a whole lot of changes, and they didn't really spend any money this offseason, right? And that's, let's be honest about it, like that's what fans get excited about in the offseason. It's something that it's not just a Guardians problem, it's a Major League Baseball problem. We just have the same conversation every year. It's like a broken record, right? When you only have 3, 4, 5 franchises that can afford the top free agents, that's problematic. That's what makes the NFL so compelling, is that the top free agents every offseason could end up anywhere of any of the 31 other teams out there, right? And you can go from worst to first in one off season and things like that. And it often doesn't work that way in baseball. The system is just completely different. And obviously here in Cleveland, let's be honest about it, this is a depressed market. The days of 455 consecutive sellouts at Progressive Field, those are distant memories and stories we'll tell our grandkids about. But I don't foresee that happening again. It's been a very quiet off season for the Guardians, but I will say this. I do feel like that fans care here in Northeast Ohio, the baseball fans care. When I covered Guards Fest back in late January, the place was packed. The convention center was packed. I was really blown away by the crowds, and it was snowy and cold and miserable outside, and people still came down to the convention center for both the morning session as well as the afternoon session. I forget which one was reserved for their season ticket holders, but both sessions were very well attended. So I do feel like people care. I do feel like baseball fans in Northeast Ohio are excited for, you know, Guardians opening day. But, yeah, the buzz just isn't there. They're on the West Coast. They're not going to be back in town for 11 days or so here. And, you know, again, it was a pretty quiet offseason outside of them changing managers.
Daryl, I have done massive amounts of research over the last 2 weeks, and I'm still trying to figure out the actual distance between Brook Park and the city of Cleveland. And when I listen to some of the folks talk about this, I swear, is it true? Now, Brook Park moved to the other side of Youngstown or the other side of Toledo?
To be quite honest, it's a couple of football fields. It's literally across the street from the city of
but
Cleveland.
But wait, Daryl, I mean, they're moving to the suburbs.
Brook Park is a suburb, though, Andy.
But wait, isn't that that piece of land that was once owned by the city of Cleveland? You mean the one they flipped in a land swap?
Yeah,
IX Center.
It's right next to the Hopkins Brook Park International Airport.
Oh, is that Brook Park International Airport?
Yeah.
I'm so messed up. My geography. It's next thing you know, you're going to tell me it's not off of 480, and then I'm going to be like, what?
And all the strip clubs are gone. So sorry, Brook Park got rid of those about 20 years ago.
Dare to dream.
Oh, they'll come back then. They'll come back then, right?
I haven't been down Brook Park Road in a while, but I think all of if
I have when
anything,
I take the wrong turn to get home from the freeway.
If there's, yeah, I'm sure that's what
or
it
from
was,
the airport,
Andy.
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm sure exactly that's what it was.
Yeah.
I think that if there's anything left, there's one spot, I think, by Mally's. And that's a retail store, which I don't know why you go to a retail store these days when you have the internet, but that is what it is.
Oh, because they make the chocolate right there. It's fresh. The big Willy Wonka towers out there, man. That's fresh chocolate. Fresh.
Except for I'm not talking about Mally's.
Oh, okay. No.
Anyway.
Sorry.
But I don't think that there's any, basically that, you know, that road used to be an entire adult entertainment district there, and it has all been replaced by car dealerships, essentially. So. I don't get the big outrage. It's not like they're moving out to Richfield or Akron or Canton.
Or Orchard Park. That would be devastating.
Yeah, Orchard Park's a little bit of a haul to Buffalo, especially depending on where the snow fell.
That's right.
But yeah, you know, it's going to be right across from the airport, literally across the street from the city of Cleveland.
Daryl, what's going to happen here? Will you please tell me? Just tell me what's going to happen. That's all I want to know. Are they staying downtown? Are they going to waste $1 billion on trying to renovate what they have? Or are they going to build a new dome?
I think they're going to build a new dome.
Okay, there we go. Thanks.
I think that's what the Haslams want to do, too. They're not going to say it. As I wrote in my Q&A earlier this week that I did on the stadium situation, they got to go through the hoops right now. You know, my understanding is things with the city of Cleveland have not really been moving forward. From a business perspective, it makes better sense for them to leave the lakefront. It really does. But they're also mindful of, the history down there. They're mindful of, trying to be a good citizen, if you will, for the region. The team isn't going anywhere. They're not sitting there saying, hey, if you don't do A, B, C, D, E, F, and G, we're just going to move the franchise, and they can't do it anyway because of Ohio law, the Modell law. But still, I think that they would, if they have their choice between a $1 billion plus renovation of the existing stadium and getting something north of $2 billion for a dome stadium in Brook Park or some other location close by here, they would absolutely go with the dome because of, more control of the building, parking revenue, which they don't partake in now. You're talking, if they get, I did the math last night with Jonathan Peterlin, because parking's a big part of this. And with a dome, they're going to be able to program the thing a lot more than they program First Energy Stadium. Let's say that they're able to control in Brook Park 20,000 parking spaces, okay?
Okay.
Let's also say, for the sake of the discussion, and I'm going to be real conservative here, because, other NFL cities are charging $75 to $100 for parking. I'm not going to go that high up. Right now in Cleveland, it's $20 and $25 somewhere in that ballpark, although I think it might be a little higher now with some of the recent.
Unless it's an all-star game, and then all of a sudden everybody's got $100.
Well, actually, across from Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, I think it's $60 for a Cavs game. But let's go 20,000 parking spaces. Let's multiply that by $40, right? That's $800,000 per event. Let's say they program the building 50 times a year. Actually, I'm going to go even a little more conservative than that. I'll say 25.
That's way too conservative. Yeah. If you've got a dome, yeah, you're using it more than 25 times.
You know, I'm just trying to be a little conservative. You know,
okay.
You're talking millions of dollars of revenue is the point of the exercise. Yeah. Per year, all right, that they're not getting right now. And we're not talking like a couple of million. We're talking 40, 50, 60, 70, $80 million per year.
In other words, parking alone could pay for everybody who works for you who doesn't actually play a role on the football team.
Right. And not only that, but the development around the building. If they stay where they're at in the stadium and the city of Cleveland, by some miracle of God, actually does something with the lakefront after 50 years of drawings and plans and grand ideas that go nowhere, the Browns aren't partaking in any of that either. Whereas if they have their own new dome and development around that, now all of a sudden they're in that business as well. The Atlanta Braves have kind of really championed that. So, yeah, I mean, it's location and it's revenue. That's all you need to know why they would be willing to consider leaving downtown Cleveland.
Darrell, let me throw one other thought at you. The Haslam said there are two things that they're thinking about. One, the $1 billion renovation of the stadium, which seems like a terrible idea. And the other, the dome. Is there any possibility that the city of Cleveland steps up and says, hey, we could build you what you want, and, you know, with your help and everything else, here in another part of the city? Is that even anything that could happen? Does it have to be A or B here, or could there be a C? Because that might be a way the city can keep the team in the city limits and make everybody happy, including develop another part of the city.
Here's the issue there. If they can't do a $1 billion renovation, how are they going to do a $2-plus billion dome? You see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I get that, but
so, you know, that's part of the thing here too. Also, it's space. Like the downtown, and Haslam's like made it very clear in Orlando that downtown's out. They're done with downtown Cleveland. They're either going to stay in the building, or they will be elsewhere. They made that pretty clear.
Where would the funding come from, Darrell, for a stadium in Brook Park? How much of that would be Haslam's, and how much would be public?
Well.
Any idea?
So the existing, we don't know what split they're looking for to do that. We know the split is 50-50 for the Lakefront Stadium, okay? It's $1 to $1.2 billion at least right now, assuming costs aren't going up even further. So that means that they would be willing to split the cost down the middle. Public funding is $500 to $600 million, and the Haslam's pick up the equal share. And basically the premise behind that is, and the way I think it's easiest to explain to folks, that's the city's building. They don't own that stadium, right? So think of it as like an apartment building, all right? We want you to fix up the building, but we also want a bunch of bells and whistles. So we'll make you a deal. You fix up the building, we'll pay for the bells and whistles. And that's kind of what they've proposed in layman's terms to the city of Cleveland. And that, again, things just really aren't moving at the pace that they kind of need them to be moving right now. And in fact, as soon as I'm done talking to you guys, I'm going to listen in on the State of the City address, the mayor of Cleveland, to see if he happens to address this particular situation today at the City Club, because the clock is ticking here. But it would be, they're trying to do a regional funding mechanism here too, which is a little difficult to do for a city-owned stadium. But if they did the dome, it'd be Brown's contribution. It'd be city location. So whether that's Brook Park or somewhere else, it'd be state of Ohio and also the county, and maybe counties, depending on, you know, what they're able to do there. But basically, a four-pronged financing approach to the facility, Jeff, if it's brand new.
Darrell, what is the advantage of the city of Cleveland in being in the landlord business of a stadium? Why? Why should the city of Cleveland be in the stadium business?
I'm a resident of the city of Cleveland, and I've been saying for years that the city needs to get out of the stadium business. Right now, as we speak, they're repairing the ramps at the stadium. That's a couple million dollars. Luckily, the syntax and, you know, that's covering those costs, but these buildings are becoming astronomically expensive to maintain. So I am a proponent that even if the Browns were to stay on the lakefront, have the county take that thing over. Because again, it's a regional thing. Cleveland right now is, according to the latest census data, over 30% of the population of the city of Cleveland's in poverty. The school system right now has a $156 million budget deficit. Anyone that's driven in a neighborhood in Cleveland, including my neighborhood, it's like driving on the moon. There are days I probably should end up in concussion protocol because the potholes are so bad. So, and then, of course, you have, you know, making sure that the safety services of the city are maintained well, right? That there are enough police and firefighters and, you know, mental health people and, you know, all those type of things that you need. So it's hard. For at least from my perspective, the city of Cleveland and Mayor Bibb to be like, yeah, sure, here's some, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in tax incentives or whatever, in tax dollars, while other critical aspects of the city right now need funding and need that money. So, but you know, that's the way this is done, though. You know, I really wish we did have the model that California has. Because some way, somehow, all the billionaires in California were able to build stadiums for the San Francisco Giants. The Golden State Warriors were able to build a new arena, even though they left Oakland, right? I realize that's why the Raiders and now the A's left Oakland, because they couldn't get public money. But SoFi Stadium, which cost over $5 billion, that got built in Los Angeles to house two NFL teams, neither of which the city of Los Angeles cares about. The LA Clippers are building their own billion-dollar arena, which is opening soon. The Lakers have spent money on their building. The Los Angeles Angels have spent their own money on their own building. The Los Angeles Dodgers have spent their own money to maintain Dodger Stadium, which is one of the best ballparks in baseball to this day, right? So it can be done, right? But unfortunately, outside of the state of California, the billionaire sports owners, they dangle the carrot that, hey, if you don't give us what we want in the form of public dollars, we'll just take our team and go elsewhere to somewhere where they will.
Darrell, aren't they going to run out of cities that are yeah. Well, seriously, that are willing to pony up that kind of cash for a team?
Yeah, I mean, it's
especially for a team in the end.
Here's the thing: Buffalo, which is another depressed city, but they're just wonderful people up there. They got almost $1 billion in public funds to build that stadium, and they're not even building the dome. It's going to be open air.
Yeah.
You know, Tennessee, their new dome stadium that they're building is going to be at least $2 billion in cost, and construction's underway for that. The Bears, and for the folks that feel like that the Browns are tied to Brook Park, they're actually not. It's just a purchase agreement. They haven't even bought the land. The Bears actually bought like 300 acres of land in suburban Chicago and then pivoted.
Yeah,
yeah, they wrote the check. They bought it and then decided, nope, we're just going to go ahead and build south of Soldier Field. We'll put $2 billion toward the project, and then, you know, the rest has to come from the public to handle that. You know, the Chicago White Sox right now, they want a new ballpark. You know, we're lucky here in Cleveland. The Cavaliers and Guardians both got their facilities reimagined, re-renovated, whatever, for pennies on the dollar of what these things normally cost. Like I said, the Browns renovation is going to be $1 billion starting price tag. And the Guardians is being done for about $200 million plus some capital improvements and stuff like that. So that comes out to about $435 total. But the Cavaliers got theirs done for less than $200 million, and that building's in great shape. So we're actually lucky here in Cleveland. This is really now we're getting the first expensive bill when you talk about modern stadiums and things like that as far as the cost goes. You know, Gateway was built so well that it's easier to extend the life of those facilities for, again, pennies on the dollar compared to other work that's being done around the country. Baltimore, they're about to do Camden Yards and the Ravens Stadium, and each of those facilities is going to get about $600 million in public dollars each. So this is where we're at.
Daryl, thank you, buddy. We appreciate
the
expertise.
Thanks, Daryl.
You bet, guys.
Daryl Ryder, brought to us by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. The public dollar thing is a fascinating aspect of this to me, and I want to follow that up because I just wonder when cities say that's enough. Andrew Hody has a 2020 as we continue here on Baskin and Phelps.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back to Baskin and Phelps on opening day. Guardians in Oakland against the Athletics tonight. We're going to talk about that with Zach Meisel coming up at 12:40. Covers the Guardians for the Athletic, one of our favorite dudes. We'll have Zach with us here in about 13 minutes. I'm Jeff Phelps. My partner over there is Andy Baskin.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Menigan's flying the ship. Hody's taking your phone calls, 216-474-0092. Daryl Ryder was just with us, our Browns beat reporter, and Daryl's been all over the stadium stuff. He's got some great, great thoughts. I've wondered, Andy, and I said this to Daryl, aren't they going to run out of cities? And he kind of laughed. Aren't they going to run out of cities? Well, I'm waiting for the day that cities tell, especially NFL teams, but also Major League Baseball teams, because we talked about this the other day, what really benefits a city? It's having an arena that brings in 300-plus events a year. And so I understand that. I wonder when they're going to say, you know what, we'd love to have a major league team here. We'd love to have an NFL team. But we can't spend billions for something that's going to bring in crowds, let's go 15, 20 times a year for a football stadium. Now, if it's a dome, it's
are you going to get your billions back?
I don't know that. I'll readily admit, no financial wizard here. But I've always wondered, when do cities say that's enough? And then what other city is going to pony up the cash? And the NFL has shown time and time again, such a great TV sport. Does it even matter where they play? You know, if you have a...
You still need a fan base. You still need fans that will, you know, be diehard for you. I'm just trying to figure out what the biggest city in the United States without a, according to television market, the biggest city in the United States without a football team. It's kind of skewed.
Is it Memphis?
It's actually Orlando.
And they have Tampa Bay just
so
right down
so that's
the street.
Market 16. Yeah, I mean, relative. So otherwise, you're looking at Sacramento, which is market 20.
And they have the Niners that are close enough.
Yeah, sort of. I mean, that's still a haul, Santa Clara to Sacramento.
Yeah, but Columbus doesn't have an NFL team.
Well,
they have their choice of two.
Yeah, but I'm just going down the, I'm going by television market size.
Right.
So,
which, by the way, is a great way to talk about the size of a city because that's the size of your market.
So I'm just looking through the top 25. Indianapolis has one at 25. St. Louis does not. They're 24.
Anymore.
Portland does not at 23, right?
Nope.
Nope. So Raleigh, Durham, Panthers.
Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, so Charlotte.
But at some point, aren't cities going to say, you know what, this doesn't benefit us quite as much as having great roads and great services? And I just wonder if there comes a point, especially with the sports that don't bring in crowds constantly for their facilities, if it ever comes to that. Ryan is in the District of Columbia. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Andy, Jeff, Menegan, Hody. I tell you, man, this stuff is just makes you, I don't know, feel revived. Just something new is always good, obviously, but at what cost? Me being a traditionalist, loving having seen stadiums that are overlooking a skyline of a city. That's just me. Cleveland is unique in the way that we are hardworking, the ethic. Just it's a city that is designed for, I don't know how to say it. I guess sitting in an open space where, you know, there's no dome is that city's mentality. Now, a lot of people say, forget that. They want the club seats. They want the popcorn. They want a movie-like atmosphere and a controlled climate. Again, I helped build Allegiant Stadium in Vegas, so I understand the whole dilemma when it comes to comfortable scenarios coincided with sporting events, et cetera, still allowing the uniqueness of weather or whatever it may be to contribute to the game. And Cleveland just is that. So taking it away from where it's at right now, I really don't know if I like it, but I'm all ears. Again, this is just good stuff. People want something new, but at what cost? Again, I want to reiterate, I am a traditionalist when it comes to where I think a stadium should be, whether it be Chicago working there last year, they want to take Soldier Field somewhere else. I think that's wrong. I really like stadiums downtown. It moving to Brook Park or wherever, I just don't like it. But who am I to say? I'm just a simpleton, you know, just going to the games. I'm not the guy that owns the teams, et cetera. But again, it's good. It's just that at what cost, guys? And I know I said a lot there, guys, but again, I just want to get my 2 cents across. I like it, but I don't know how much I like it. But anyway, guys, great show as always.
All right, Ryan, thank you very much. Back to work for you. Back to work for you.
I'm trying to figure out, I'm going to do this in a second. Let me do this, and then I want to talk to you about stadiums that are downtown in the NFL. 92.3 The Fan is looking for a winner. Enter the word, what's today, Wednesday, Jeff? No, Thursday.
Today's photo.
Thursday. Photo. P-H-O-T-O. P-H-O-T-O. Photo at 92.3thefan.com. By 1:59 for your chance, 1:59 p.m., for your chance to win a pair of tickets to the Fan Expo Cleveland April 12th through the 14th at the Huntington Convention Center. Fan Expo. Meet stars from franchises like Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, and more. Tickets available at fanexpocleveland.com. The word is photo.
Photo. Do that.
Photo.
Nick is in Parma. Hello, Nick.
Gents, how you doing?
Well, thank you.
Very good. Hey, I just wanted to throw this out there. I'm sure that they probably have done this, but it would make sense to me if you're the city and you're the Haslams, most of this is a financial issue, right, and figuring all that out. You have one of the most powerful people in finance in the country right down the street from you. If I'm these two parties, are you not throwing a call over to Dan Gilbert to say, hey, what makes the most sense here?
Dan has his own thing going, you know.
By the way, a dome stadium could take away some of his revenue.
That's very true.
True?
I'm sure he would love to write the loan on it, though.
Oh, well, there you go. Good point.
That's good point. Point for Nick.
All right. I will let you guys go. Thank you.
All right, Nick. Thank you.
I'm just looking at, so, you know, he was talking about, help me with this, yes or no, because I think the majority, like, I'm looking at the whole AFC East, nobody plays downtown there. Buffalo doesn't, Miami doesn't, the Jets don't, New England doesn't, the Jets don't play in Manhattan, right? Would you consider Manhattan downtown for them then, right?
Yeah.
The Patriots play in Foxborough, nowhere near Boston. I'm just kidding, you know, the Ravens are kind of outside downtown. Baltimore. We play downtown. The Steelers, I'll say downtown.
Isn't the Ravens downtown?
It's kind of
stadiums
off the,
downtown, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's not like you can. You kind of have to go a little bit farther away. I'll say it's downtown. If you want to say it's downtown, it's close.
It's in the Baltimore City.
It's close, right? The Bengals are downtown. That is correct. It's probably about the same walk from downtown to Bengals as it would be for Ravens. Houston, I don't. I'm just trying to think. I've never. Houston, I don't know. Jacksonville, I've seen it off the freeway.
Houston's is right by the old Astrodome, so it's basically downtown.
Basically downtown. Jacksonville? I don't. It's off the freeway. I don't think that's. I'm not sure. Indy is, Tennessee is moving to, right?
As long as you can get it built.
Kansas City's not. Raiders are on the strip.
I just wonder, though. Like,
Denver's kind of off to the side. Chargers, I mean, what is downtown L.A.? Is there really a downtown L.A.?
It's always been a thing, Andy, that I don't quite get. And again, financial simpleton here. I'm not in on all that. If the public pays for everything and then the team operates it and the team generates revenue, and I know they have to pay, you know, a lease and rent and everything, but it's always seemed convoluted. And I'm just waiting one day for the backlash from cities who say, we've had enough on this. It's opening day. Zach Meisel from The Athletic covers the Guardians. He's next on Baskin and Phelps.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Go home and take a nap, everybody. Get that nap in. Why? Because tonight, opening night in Major League Baseball, Guardians in the thriving metropolis of Oakland, California, taking on the Oakland Athletics, who Las Vegas said, no, we're good. You know, they don't need to build that on the strip.
Nice.
You think they end up there? I don't know the details.
Yeah, it's just a matter of where.
Yeah, so. I don't know the deets. The idea of building on the strip to me just sounds like a terrible idea. Why would you spend that extra money for property on the strip when you could take it two or three blocks off and it would be just fine?
Yeah, I just say you just want to get a little bit off the strip.
I would certainly think so. So what happens this year? Where does this thing go? How should we feel right now? Gentleman who covers the team beautifully for The Athletic joins us right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He's Zach Meisel. Hello, Zach.
Hey, Zach.
Can I just answer all of those questions with a, I have absolutely no idea?
And there we have it,
and it's
and
been
gentlemen.
A great interview.
Always, sweet. Thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
Always good to bring in the expertise.
That's why I'm smarter today. See you.
All right, so we hit on some of these things early. Give me your thoughts on this thought. There seems to be I had apathy, for lack of a better word, not the usual buzz that we usually see. Is part of that a Terry Francona factor where I think over the last decade everybody thought, all right, well, they didn't do much, but, man, Terry's going to get the most out of it and we'll be just fine. That's not here now. Is that anything with this?
Maybe an underlying one. Like, he was sort of a safety net, right? But the buzz thing is a direct result of the off season. I mean, I cover this team on a daily basis and I struggle. People ask me, what do you think the team's going to do this season? And I have no idea. If they won 73 games, it wouldn't shock me. If they won 88 games, it wouldn't shock me. There are just a bunch of different paths they could take. And so much is dependent on health and so much is dependent on young players finally cracking the code in the big leagues. And that stuff is really hard to predict. And because they didn't do anything to, I guess, just alleviate some of the risk involved with that and get more proven commodities on the roster, there's no buzz. There's no excitement. And you just assume the worst. I think we all sort of look at what transpired last year with any team that we follow, and you just assume similar things are going to happen the next year. because that's what we have to go off of. So until you actually see something, I mean, in 2022, I don't think there was much buzz for that team either until they signed Jose Ramirez the day before the season started.
Right.
And then it was like, okay, maybe this team's not going to be good, but at least they got their cornerstone player locked up. And then look at all the young players who blossomed. Like, it's so hard to predict that. And because they're sort of relying on a similar formula this year, I think that leads to the apathy. It leads to the uncertainty. And while I think that there's a really talented young nucleus here that should make them a decent team in the future, I still have questions about how they get there. And I have questions about whether they're going to make the right decisions transactionally to fortify that nucleus and go do what Baltimore is on the verge of doing, go do what, you know, without all the spending, but Texas has done, where you take your core and you see that it wins and then you build a juggernaut with it. There are some steps to take to get to that part of the equation, and it's those steps that leave me wondering what this season's going to look like.
I'm trying to sit here and go through, like, okay, what are the biggest questions I'm going to ask myself this season? Stephen Vogt is one, and then the other one is, how long is Shane Beaver going to be on this roster?
So Beaver is so interesting because, by all accounts, his own, the coaching staff, I don't want to say he's ever going to get back to 2020 because he was throwing 95. He was striking out 40% of hitters, and that's just not realistic. But if he can throw 92, 93, and he feels confidence in that curveball again, he's an ace. And I think he feels like he's there. And so it just opens up the possibilities. I mean, if he's really good again, no matter where the team standing is in July, you're going to have other teams inquiring about him. And he'd be the perfect addition to a team. You know, he's playoff tested. He's entering it's a contract year. You know, he's as motivated as ever. So that's something they're going to have to ask themselves down the line. Obviously it depends where they're at in the standings, because he certainly would be valuable to Cleveland too. So it's a weird situation where everybody can benefit if he's good. But I mean, this is last year here. It's just a matter of, does he have 4 more months here, or does he have 6 more months here? And what can he accomplish in that time? Does it mean Cleveland gets a nice haul at the trade deadline, or does it mean they get a draft pick, but maybe they had a successful season? It can be a win-win here. So what was the other question you had?
Oh, no, Vogt. It wasn't really – I'm asking myself these questions too. Like, what are our goals when we think about the season and what we're talking about? And that the fact that Stephen Vogt hasn't managed one game yet in Major League Baseball – I'm excited for him because I like his personality, but that would make him a great captain as a player. I need him to be a great manager, right? And so, like, what's he going to be like as a manager?
Yeah, and I don't think he can answer that yet, because you have to go through so many different things, right? So it's like tonight, get that first one out of the way. You know the speed of the game. You know the decisions you're going to have to make at certain times. You can try to simulate that in spring training, but it's just not the same. And you can try to simulate that when you're shadowing Bruce Bochy or Bob Melvin or Craig Counsell like he did, but it's not the same. So things will pop up. You know what? I'll be curious. What's the first time where he's sitting in the dugout and has a decision to make on a pinch hitter or pulling a pitcher? And you can conference with Carl Willis and Chris Valleca, but you're the one that has to make the decision in the end. So, you know, how he learns from those types of things. And the bigger thing, and this is the thing I think he's more equipped for, which is why I do think in time he's going to be really good at this. But, you know, when you get swept in Los Angeles and you've got a 5-hour flight home and the team is dragging, what do you say to them? And when do you say it? And you have to pull the right levers there and make sure that you have everybody in the right mindset. And I think that's where sort of that, like, that's where that leadership comes in that you're talking about, where a good captain would know the right things to say at the right times. Terry Francona was so good at that, where he didn't need to be in that clubhouse barking at people every day. You know, he was able to build relationships with guys so that they knew he had their best interests in mind. And I think that's what Vogt's really good at, the communication, the connectivity. But again, with a team that takes a while, you can't just be all, You can give a speech where the team wants to run through a brick wall for you on day one, but you still have to be able to motivate them and inspire them on day 137, right? So until you go through that in this role, you know, you don't really know what obstacles are going to pop up, what fires you're going to have to put out, what personalities you're going to have to corral. So there will be some growing pains, some learning for him too. But I think he's got the ingredients.
Zach Meisel joining us. He covers the Guardians for The Athletic. Brian Rocchio, Tyler Freeman, Bo Naylor, Esteban Florial. Which guy makes the biggest impression this year out of the new guys who might be here for this team? Or new guys, yeah, or young guys who get a full-time shot like Bo Naylor?
I lean toward Freeman and Rocchio. I think Rocchio sort of gets overlooked. I don't really know why. Maybe because we're all tired of the shortstop experiments, and we're waiting on someone to take it and run with it. He could be that guy. He had a really good winter, and he just turned 23, and he hasn't really had much of a shot in the big leagues yet. And remember, it wasn't too long ago where he was drawing comparisons to Francisco Lindor with a similar swing from both sides of the plate, slick fielder. So he's going to have a chance here at the outset to get the bulk of the playing time at shortstop and prove why he was and really still is a top. I mean, at The Athletic, he's the Guardians' number one prospect, and I think he's top 20 in the league. So there's still some pedigree there with him. And then Freeman is interesting. I mean, he was a top 100 prospect. The hitting tool is supposed to be real. He's another elite contact guy. And it'll be interesting with him in center field. You know, he hadn't played the position until spring training, and he's looked capable out there, but it's a little different when you're on a backfield in Arizona and then you're here in the spacious Oakland outfield and you're thinking, hey, this is where Ricky Henderson used to chase down fly balls. It's a little intimidating. So, you know, we'll see. Like, the big thing for him is if he hits, they'll find a spot for him. You know, maybe at center field, maybe he winds up at shortstop, maybe he bounces around. But he needs to be able to take what made him a top 100 prospect, and that's that bat, and translate it to the big leagues. And he hasn't had – I mean, he's played a little bit, but it's like 88 games over 2 years, so it hasn't been consistent, and that's the big thing. Can these guys play five times a week early on and build some momentum, and then they become everyday players? They need a couple of those guys to emerge. Those are the two who I'd say probably have the best chance of doing that.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate your time. Go get a nap.
I need it. It's a late start.
Hey, Zach, no protesters out there? Are you worried about that or no?
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about it, you know, that they're going to just occupy every parking lot around the Coliseum and then not go in. So I think between that and then what you see actually on the inside, where it might only be a few thousand people, and I think a bunch of them are going to be wearing Guardian stuff, and everybody's going to be cheering for the opposing manager, it's going to be quite a spectacle to see.
Must see TV. I'll stay up.
There it is. Zach, thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Zach.
All right, take care, fellas.
Zach Meisel, The Athletic, covers the Guardians, does a phenomenal job of doing that. We have questions about the Guardians.
Oh, we do, yes.
We have answers about the Guardians.
Yeah, not so sure about that.
Well, you better, because that's coming up next on Baskin and Phelps.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.